Steven.
JP.
How's the solar eclipse?
You know, it was good, other than the fact that I'm having a hard time seeing. Like, even you right now, I just can't really make things out. Other than that, though, it was beautiful. I didn't realize you actually had to wear glasses.
Then why are you wearing glasses right now? For nobody who can't see.
No, that's actually just so I can help see. Yeah. No. Those are actually like prescription glasses so I can see. No. My sister is an optometrist. So she was abundantly clear that there's certain types of glasses you need to wear. I ended up getting so scared because my sister scared me that I didn't even end up trying to watch it. All that to say, I don't think I missed much because in classic Toronto fashion, it was a beautiful sunny day. And then just right at that 2:30 p.m. Eastern, it just got incredibly cloudy. So I don't think there was much of a eclipse, at least in my area in Toronto.
Are you sure it was the clouds or that was the eclipse, man? It got dark because it
oh,
was...
what? Can you imagine? Yeah, dude, it was so bizarre. Like, I just couldn't see anything for about 30 to 90 seconds there.
Oh my gosh.
Were you guys on the, what is it, the path of totality? Like,
I saw nothing over here. And it's really interesting to hear all this happening in North America. And a lot of the news that I consume is still very North America based. And over here, it's like, have North Americans never seen an eclipse ever? That's the vibe. It's also the camp that I'm in, frankly.
Sensing a little bit of jealousy.
A little, yeah. Yeah.
The UK has a lot of things on us, at least to give us the eclipse. Please. That's awesome. Well, I'm trying to think of a good segue here. Path of totality. Mm-hmm. I'm going to segue over to career pathing. So,
actually, that was painful. That was,
I know. I'm trying. I'm getting
it's
better.
It's good, though.
It's good. Yeah, before I actually dive into it, we'll take a quick step back. For anyone that's, you know, this is their first time listening to the Cheat Sheet, I'll give a little bit of context in terms of what it's about. So every few weeks, you know, as the listeners know, we do these longer form episodes where we interview some incredible guests about their career journeys. To complement that, we thought it would also be interesting to create bite-sized content that provides more tactical advice for business students and new grads. So we created this mini series called the Cheat Sheet. Last time, we tackled a really fun topic, which was how to warm up a cold reach out. And we gave our top 5 tips. So if anyone's curious on that, please recommend listening. But today we're going to tackle an equally, if not more, daunting task, which is around career pathing. And there's a lot of noise out there. I know, JP, you and I were chatting back when we were kind of coming out of school. You know, you're taking all these courses, you're meeting all these new people, sitting in all these, you know, pitches from companies that are kind of selling you on what they're about. You're looking online, there's all these new trends, and it's just a lot of noise. And we thought maybe for today's topic, we'll provide a few clarifying questions to remove a little bit of that noise. And these are some questions that individuals can ask themselves when they're thinking about what that next move could or should be.
Yeah, and we'll put a little bit of a disclaimer on this. First of all, careers are long, and we're, I would say, in the first third of our careers, right? So we're not purporting to be experts here, but what's key here is that these are just 4 things to consider as a starting point. And I think in our career so far, and also as we're talking to other people who are asking us for advice, these are the 3 or 4 things that really come up the most frequently. And honestly, there are different ways to approach a career. Like, and the key here is that you own it and you're better off asking yourselves the question so that you're not caught up in this wave of seeing what person X is doing. Oh, I think that's the right career path for me. There's so many personal things here to consider.
So why don't we go into the first question that students or new grads could ask themselves?
Yeah. And this is a big one. The first question that we'd recommend is actually to zoom out a little bit and to understand in the context of your life, how does a career fit into that? It's easy to start immediately into, I want this specific type of job. And then you deal with the ramifications and how that fits into your life. And then you start to figure out, oh, what's my work-life balance, so on and so forth. And actually, the secret there is take a step back and understand what can a job really do for me. And this is highly personal, by the way, and it varies person to person again. But there's a lot of sub questions here. It's what kind of lifestyle do you want to lead? What types of experience do you want to have in the arc of your life? How much time and effort are you willing to dedicate? What life stage are you in? And how can a job really fit in with that? then you can kind of start to think about what types of jobs will help enable that lifestyle. So it's like working remote. Are you flexible? Do you need to have a 4-day week, for example? Do you want something that travels a lot? There's so many different questions to ask, but the key here is, how will a career and a job fit into the broader spectrum of your life?
Love that. I wish JP, you personally didn't ask that question, because then you wouldn't have moved to the UK and we'd still be hanging out in Toronto. But these are some questions I know you asked yourself when you were thinking about
it. I had to ask it.
Yeah.
I had to ask it.
So next question would be kind of, what brings you joy? Again, a very lofty question, but think about it in the confines of the work that you're doing. So for instance, if you did a summer internship, or you know, you're just starting in a new role fresh out of school, an exercise I did when I was a little bit unclear on what to do next was I actually mapped out kind of my average week. So I did this a few years ago when I was an associate brand manager trying to figure out what was next. And what I tried to do was identify the highest of highs and the lowest of lows. And the hope is that when you do an exercise like that, there's some common themes that emerge or rise to the surface. And what I would say is, when you're also mapping things out, be as specific as possible. So for instance, don't say, hey, I love data. And it's like, okay, what do you love about that? Is it the synthesizing of data? Is it analyzing it? Is it distilling it down into a few insights? Is it the storytelling around it? So be very specific on what are those things that you really, really love doing? Because the more specific you are, the more you can find roles that kind of check some of those boxes. And then the other thing I'd say as a build, it's just as valuable to figure out kind of what drains your energy as it is to find out what gives you energy. So that was a very clarifying exercise for me. And then as you're thinking about what brings you joy, like, where do you feel like you have the most purpose? Where you feel like you're doing the most meaningful work for yourself? Where are you driving the most impact? There's a whole host of things that you're looking at when finding a job, but that purpose and where you're finding joy are probably the most endearing things, because that short-term promotion or money, fantastic, all very important. But to keep you motivated to get out of bed each and every single day, it's really about that purpose and that joy. And so I would definitely ask that question.
So next one. So now you've asked yourself, okay, this is how my career fits into my broader life. I'm starting to think about what brings me joy and what would bring me joy at work. Then the other kind of filter to run any job or career next step is, what are you skilled at? This is a tough question, because I think it's hard to find that balance of not being so specific that it shuts you out of job opportunities, because you have a very niche skill set that is really only fit for one thing. But you also don't want it to be so vague that it actually means nothing when you are looking for a job. So keep it simple, but not too vague. Most people are problem solvers, right? Or most people manage their time well, or most people are good with working with others. The spin there is really about, not many people are skilled at navigating ambiguity. So for example, when there's a situation where the team doesn't know because there's too many variables ahead of them, are you the person who's able to set out a plan on how to navigate through that? Are you good at, to Jeevan's earlier point, generating insights and action out of large data sets? Because that's something that's a very specific skill. Or are you good at managing team conflict and bringing disparate teams or teams who are butting heads to get something done? So you can see how that is a different articulation of what you might be skilled at. A couple of ways to figure this out. The first thing is, ask your peers or the people around you. You've worked with people on teams. You work with people at a job. You've even sat on projects together with others. Even your family can kind of tell you what role you play within there. That'll help you build a little bit of that intuition on what it is that you're good at. And also, you'll find that a career like marketing or an industry like marketing will have so many different subspecialties. Do a little bit of research on what the skills are under each of those subspecialties, and you'll start to see that, look, I lean more creative. I lean more on business management. I lean more on strategy. And that's going to help you carve that out. And the last thing that I'll say is, this is the one thing probably that evolves over time. Because as you get more experience, as you learn a little bit more, you'll realize that actually what I thought I was good at, first of all, that's not what brings me joy. So you kind of discard it. But then you also start to learn and pick up new skills that then you build upon, and that drives your career forward.
Love it. And then the last one I would say is, kind of, where do you see the opportunity? Worded differently, what does the world need more of? I love that articulation. It's something that I read online. And this is a really key one. We're in a very dynamic time. I know that's the most cliche thing to say in business, but there's new trends every day. So where are you seeing the trends? And this is a really critical one, because to your point, something might bring you joy. You might be really skilled at it, but it might not be in demand moving forward. And so how do you kind of get exposure to areas so that you can future-proof yourself? So I'll give a very personal example. I was in brand experience, which was more the kind of the advertising side, and there was a growing trend towards e-commerce. And so I was like, okay, this is an area that's going to grow and grow quite dramatically. So it's important for me to get some exposure. And then the other thing is, if I don't get exposure, it's going to be a career inhibitor. Because if I don't really understand, you know, digital media or e-commerce as much, it might hurt me from getting opportunities down the road. And so that was definitely a part of the overall equation when I was thinking about making my last career move. And this is one where you need to do a lot of research. You need to be very plugged in. You need to talk with mentors, and you need to kind of form an opinion on where do you think things are going. And you're not going to have a crystal ball by any stretch, but there should be a few 1 to 2 to 3 kind of key areas that should be very clear in terms of where you need to get some more exposure to.
So just to recap here, the 4 preliminary, albeit big questions to ask yourself as you're thinking about your career path. First and foremost, how does a career fit in your broader life and your value system? What do you truly value in your life? The second is, what brings you joy at work? What are you passionate about? The third is, what are you skilled at? What are those things that you're really good at? And finally, where do you see the opportunity in the future? Where will there be demand for jobs? A career path implies that you have to follow a path. It's so easy to get kind of analysis paralysis and want the perfect next step to be the thing. But careers are long. There's always opportunity to learn down the way. And there will be many times when you go down a path and realize that that's not the right one. And that's perfectly fine. Because again, careers are long. What's key here is you need to take a step and don't hold yourself back from that, because that's going to waste you a lot of time.
Love that. And I'd say the final thing, especially as you're new and starting into your career, when you're fresh out of school, maybe there's a little bit more appetite for risk to try a few different things, because you're not going to be able to answer any of these questions unless you're kind of trying out a few different things and realizing, oh, I tried that on, oh, I really didn't like that, or I tried this other opportunity and, oh, I love it. And so I think it's going to be really important to, as you're starting out, to be a little bit more open-minded. Like, you do want that North Star that we always talk about to be working towards, but to still try a few different opportunities to really clarify the kind of career that you want.
Amazing. All right. So Jeeves, what's your next, what's the next step here? What's on your career path? Tell us.
Continuing to do the podcast with you.
The problem is it brings us joy. We're making time for it in the grand context of our life. I don't know if we're skilled at it. So maybe that's one thing. That's a problem. But does the world really need more podcasters?
We'll find out. With that, please like, review, share with your friends. Can you imagine? No, we're not going to become those guys. Yeah, but to anyone listening, thank you for listening. If there's ever any thoughts you have on other mini episodes we could do, please shoot us a message on LinkedIn and we'll try to tackle it.
See you later.
All right. Take care.